You're listening to special coverage from WKSU News. Good evening, I'm Andrew Meyer. Earlier today, Akron Mayor Dan Horgan delivered his State of the City address to the Akron Roundtable at the John S. Knight Center. We bring you that speech now in its entirety.
My name is Grace Wilkolchek. I'm the president and CEO of Akron Children's Hospital, and I'm here to introduce the mayor today. I'd like to start by thanking the Akron Roundtable and their partners, the Greater Akron Chamber, Leadership Akron, Rotary Club of Akron, Akron Kiwanis, for the invitation to be here to introduce Mayor Horgan for a State of the City address. As President and CEO of Akron Children's Hospital, it's been my pleasure to work with the City of Akron on many issues that affect the health of our community. We're all working towards creating a thriving environment for our children and employees and all the residents and families we serve in the City of Akron. We share an optimistic outlook and belief in the power of people to overcome obstacles. Akron Children's has been a proud part of this community for 129 years, and we join the mayor in looking forward to a bright future. Like the mayor, our history is bound to this place, and we're in it for the long run. We understand the hard work that goes into trying to do the most good for the most people with limited resources. In preparing these remarks, I did a little research on what's been happening here in Akron since Mayor Horgan took office on January 1st, 2016. I found a lot of articles on the initiatives he's set in motion to revitalize our city and its neighborhoods. The words in those articles painted a picture for me about the things Mayor Horgan values and the type of leader he is. Here are some of them: innovation, diversity, listening, culture, talent, teamwork, safety, empowerment, strengthen, collaborate, investment, affordable, public, long-term, opportunity, appreciation, perspective, and respect. There's a theme that runs through much of the news coverage of the mayor's achievements and the spirit of hope that's taken hold of our city over the past few years. It's a hometown approach that invites everyone to take a place at the table. It is about showing respect for other people's experiences and valuing their points of view. It's about making possible for young people to learn new skills and showing appreciation to everyone who shows up to make a contribution. It's about listening to people's problems and working together to find solutions. It's about creating spaces where people can work, explore, play, and live their best lives. It's about investing in the small things that affect people on a daily basis: roads, public transportation, schools, fire trucks, today snow removal, and filling empty storefronts. It's also about investing in the big things that will carry us forward and set the stage for the city center that is slowly but surely taking shape downtown. Certainly the progress Mayor Horgan has made during his first years in office has been noticed on a local, regional, and national level. Last year, he received the Small Business Advocate Award from his peers at the U.S. Congress of Mayors. In accepting the award, Mayor Horgan acknowledged the work of his economic development team, referring to all 1,800 city employees. And in doing so, he displayed one of the most important attributes of leadership: humility. In July 2018 editorial, Crain's Cleveland Business highlighted the good work that's happening here in our city, saying, "Akron is on a roll." The editors called out our mayor for his management style and ability to bring together private and public resources to foster investments in our community. "It's a team effort," they said, "and momentum is certainly building." I wholeheartedly agree. It's a challenging and exciting time to be here in Akron, and I'm looking forward to hearing Mayor Horgan's report. Please join me in welcoming the mayor of the City of Akron, Dan Horgan.
Thank you. Thank you.
You deserve it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sorry. Well, good afternoon. Sorry, we were a couple of minutes late, I think, getting started. I was on a plow truck a little bit earlier. Sorry, too soon, maybe. Well, thank you, Grace, and thank you to the Akron Roundtable, Leadership Akron, and our partnering organizations that make this event possible. And many thanks to the Kiwanis and Rotary Clubs that have been part of this event for almost three decades. None of this is possible without the fantastic staff and management here at the John S. Knight Center. Join me in giving them a round of applause, please. Three short years ago, when I took the oath of office as your mayor, I talked about the choice that was before us, a choice to simply manage our own decline or a choice to grow again. And since that time, every decision I've made, every action I've taken has been to build a city that thrives. At a pivotal moment in our community's history, we've laid the foundation to rebuild and reshape our collective future. I can't accomplish any of this by myself. It's an honor to work with some of the most dedicated people I know, and that's the 1,800 City of Akron employees, our department managers, and my cabinet, who are committed to making Akron a great place to live and work. And many of them are here today, and thank you for your service to this community. I'd also like to thank Akron City Council for their efforts to assist in moving our community forward. And I'd ask Council President Margot Somerville and all the members of Akron City Council to please stand. Join me in recognizing their service to our community. For me, on a personal level, none of this is possible without the love and support of my wife, Deanna, my three daughters, Cassidy, Kennedy, and Camille, my mom, Lucretia, and my extended family. Many of them are here today. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I've talked about the great renaissance that Akron is experiencing and the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity we all have to embrace new ideas and a new vision. And I've said that we have to become more entrepreneurial and adaptive and ready to change if we all want to build a city that thrives and not just survives. Today I'm going to talk about that vision and the ways our city and our government and this community as a whole are making progress on those issues and why local leadership is more important now than ever. A recent study brought home the unique importance of local solutions in our current political climate. And according to the 2018 Civic Engagement Survey, Americans are 64% more likely to say feel that they are well represented by their local officials as compared to the institutions that represent them in Washington, D.C. A majority of Americans are optimistic that their community can come together to overcome political divisions to solve local problems, while only 36% of Americans believe the same about national challenges. And we see this data mirrored in our own state. More than 6 in 10 Ohioans say it is more important to act locally than nationally. All this data just reaffirms what we already know to be true. Local issues and local policies matter a great deal. Citizens are more optimistic about our ability to get things done. All this means is they look to us to create real solutions for their very real challenges, from poverty to lack of opportunity, to job creation, to basic safety and the quality of life. Local leaders bear the frontline burden in pushing the ball forward on all of these issues, day in and day out. It's no small responsibility. In fact, the importance of our impact on people's daily lives can be quite humbling. As local leaders, we cannot escape the effect our decisions have on our community. We grocery shop, we worship, we drive, we mow our own lawns, at least I know I do. We raise our families and build our lives right alongside the people directly impacted by the choices we make every single day. As your mayor, I am committed to meeting all of you where you are, listening and responding. From picking up trash, providing clean water, and public safety, we are providing these services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And a very important note, local government does not shut down. Local government does not shut down. It doesn't sleep and it doesn't quit. I will always take on the challenge of impacting people's lives in a positive way by creating good-paying jobs, investing in our infrastructure, and building stronger neighborhoods and protecting and uplifting all families. Our constituents, our neighbors, and our customers expect and, quite frankly, deserve nothing less. Last year, I called on all of our institutions, including the city, to remake themselves and coordinate resources to achieve growth with equity. And this community stepped up in big ways. By aligning our strategies and our budgets, we are beginning to move on the systemic change our city needs. Through new community partnerships, we're proving we can do things differently and achieve better outcomes. One of the most tangible and powerful accomplishments that this community rallied around in 2018 was the opening of the city's first financial empowerment center in Kenmore, staffed and managed by a dedicated team at the United Way. A diverse group of community leaders was recruited for an advisory council. This council helped pave the way for how we would fund, organize, and market the services of this vital new community asset, one that would truly impact the financial health of our residents. While the center has only been open 8 short months, demand for services has been incredibly strong. Since the opening, the FEC has seen almost 400 clients across more than 800 financial counseling sessions. In addition to complementary services such as tax preparation and banking education, we are providing free, comprehensive financial services to everyone in the community. And these are astounding numbers. And with a holistic approach, I know this will be a pivotal tool in changing the way our community combats the cycle of poverty. Thank you to the United Way and my staff for all your hard work on this important and lasting endeavor. And I can't talk about community coordination without recognizing my Senior Citizens Commission, an energetic and dedicated group that was appointed in 2016 to give specific attention to the issues and projects that matter most to Akron seniors. Older adults make up a significant and essential portion of our community, and they overwhelmingly tell me they want to stay in their neighborhoods and age in place. The Commission, in partnership with the AARP and Direction Home, approached me about an important program, one that would educate and encourage and promote improvements that would make Akron more age-friendly. This program aligns perfectly with the work my staff is already doing around safer mobility and the importance of quality housing. I'm pleased to announce that the City of Akron will be entering the AARP network of age-friendly cities. This is a structured 5-year program that will enable us to pay increased attention to the social, economic, and environmental factors that influence the health and well-being of older adults. In the next few months, my staff will be working with the Commission, the AARP, and Direction Home to begin the process. And it starts with a robust community assessment, ultimately turning this feedback into a final actionable plan for improvement. Many thanks to Dr. Harvey Stearns, Chair of the Senior Citizens Commission, members of the Commission, including Sue Sigmund from Direction Home, and the AARP for their very hard work to get this program off the ground, making sure our seniors can safely navigate all aspects of civic life and enjoy our public spaces is what communities across the globe are achieving. And it's the least we can do for those who have helped build this community for literally generations. Perhaps the most comprehensive change that I have pursued with other community partners is a plan that relates to the path that we have chosen for our economic development system, both within our organization and across the community. Since 2017, I have helped lead an initiative with the Greater Akron Chamber, Summit County Executive Eileen Shapiro, and the GAR Foundation to assess where our economy is right now and what we have to do together to achieve better outcomes. Many of you have seen or heard about the product of those efforts, and it's a new economic development framework called Elevate Akron. This plan represents a historic coordination of resources between the three institutions most responsible for igniting economic growth in our community. It calls for us to embrace the new fundamentals of economic development, including a more focused approach to local business retention and expansion, an emphasis on entrepreneurship and innovation, improved business intelligence and research services, more vibrant places and spaces, and most important, this is most important to me, an inclusive economy where no one is left behind. We came to these strategies after an honest evaluation of our local economy and how it fares within the national and global realities. We found that Akron has inherent strengths we can build upon, including immediate proximity to state research universities, a new community college presence, and latent startup material, high patent activity, and the raw ingredients necessary for a true advanced materials cluster. Overall, Akron is not in distress, but our economy is not nearly as dynamic and adaptive as it has to be to compete in the global marketplace. According to the report, fragmented and outdated development practices across the region have resulted in a slow rate of growth downtown, a workforce skills gap, and neighborhoods farther and farther away from where the jobs are. Most concerning to me is the research that proves what leaders in Akron's Black community have known for decades. Our African-American neighbors are being excluded from economic opportunity. And if our businesses and our residents want to experience success in the 21st century, this is going to change. The partners have wasted no time getting to work to focus on local business retention and expansion. An interagency team led by Summit County now meets weekly to coordinate projects and build targeted portfolio of companies that are ready to grow. We're working to build the export-import services to help our companies have better access to the global marketplace. Through the sharing of data and manpower, we hope to see increased job growth, and area businesses can expect to experience more relevant services that provide more value-added support. The city and chamber have partnered to fund a high-level position, laser-focused on pushing our inclusive growth strategies forward. The Vice President for Inclusion and Opportunity will reside at the Chamber and work to promote a narrative of inclusion and ensure we are viewing all of our strategies through an equity lens. And I look forward to working with this new leader, and I ask each of you to examine how your organization can assist in making meaningful progress on expanding and diversifying economic opportunity for the entire community. Last year also saw significant growth for Akron as a regional center for entrepreneurship and innovation. Last year, I spoke to you about my vision for Akron's first open innovation hub, aptly named Bounce, which is now a thriving independent entity. In early March, Bounce Innovation Hub hired its first CEO, Doug Weintraub. Doug and his team have hit the ground running, assisting over 50 area companies in their startup journey. Bounce alone accounts for over 250 Akron jobs. This coming May 1st, Bounce will open a renovated first floor, a space we call the Generator, and it will serve as our region's front door for innovation and entrepreneurship, designed by local artists using locally sourced materials. I want to take this opportunity to thank Doug and the Bounce board, especially board chair Deb Hoover and the Bounce staff for their tireless work to advance innovation right here in this great community. Thank you. It's important to note that Bounce is not a silver bullet solution. It is working in conjunction with other partners in the ecosystem to strengthen the connective fibers supporting entrepreneurs and innovators, and there is a lot of work to be done. Few partners are more important to the success of our innovation agenda than our colleges and universities. For maybe the first time ever, our four-year state research institutions, the University of Akron, Kent State University, and NeoMed are all searching for new leadership at the same time. And this is a moment that cannot be taken lightly. Experience shows that cities that thrive in the innovation economy do so on the strength of their university collaborations. Pittsburgh, for example, has benefited immensely from Carnegie Mellon Robotics and their industry partnerships around autonomous vehicles. For our city our size, we punch far above our weight class when it comes to patent activity, but we've yet to fully realize that economic potential in the marketplace. We have to push for increased coordination between our academic institutions as well as with industry if we want to truly capitalize on this untapped potential. This is going to require our local universities to keep economic development as a strategic focus as they search for their next leaders. And I'm happy to report that the board leadership at our universities agree. They have accepted my invitation to meet with the Akron Elevate Akron partners to jointly discuss their searches and discuss how we can move beyond the silos of the past towards an aligned vision we've set out in this plan. In order for the city to be a full partner within Elevate Akron, we have to become more focused and more efficient internally. Since my announcement last year, we have continued to build the Office of Integrated Development under unified leadership. Thanks to the generosity of Kyle Kutichief and the Knight Foundation, we were able to bring significant outside resources to facilitate a process of merging economic development, planning, downtown operations, and some parts of engineering. And I'm proud to report that by this summer, I will be presenting a 3-year strategy and staffing plan for the office that will include very clear goals, clear metrics, and ways of working with our partners to streamline services and better leverage all of our existing resources. Cities should ultimately be a reflection of the people who inhabit them. And in turn, local leaders have the responsibility to provide the highest quality of life possible for all its people. Place matters. Home is one of the most powerful words in the English language. The spaces we inhabit together can give us a strong sense of belonging, a strong sense of unity and pride, strong neighborhoods, diverse housing options, vibrant business districts, and activated parks have been and will continue to be essential ingredients for building a thriving city. And when it comes to our places and spaces, my administration has continued to focus on improving our neighborhoods and downtown to make them more attractive as hubs for living, working, and playing. Just 2 years after I released the Planning to Grow Akron report, I'm proud that much progress has been made. When I took office in 2016, our community was only building a handful of new houses each year. Thanks to policy changes targeted at making Akron's housing market more competitive, including our citywide property tax abatement program, we now have, wait for it, 1,000 units of new housing either in development or under construction this year. That's just a start. The city and the Summit County Land Bank will soon be launching a new web-based portal allowing everyone to browse, view, and apply to purchase vacant city-owned or land bank-owned properties. This tool will help us combat areas of blight in our city and empower residents and developers to turn vacant parcels into community assets and new places to live. In June of last year, the city, along with City Council, created the Vacant Building Registry Program aimed at attacking commercial blight in our neighborhoods. The VBR program requires property owners with long vacant buildings to register with the city and provide a plan to either repair, rent, or demolish the structure. No longer will it be just okay to let your commercial building rot without consequences. And I'm giving this year the Department of Neighborhood Assistance the resources to make a difference. The removal of commercial blight across our city will help reduce crime, increase property values, and spur economic development in all of our neighborhoods. This year, at my direction, for the first time in recent memory, the city will spend as much on commercial demolition as it does on housing demolition. Yes, that deserves a round of applause. Let's talk about neighborhoods just a little bit more. because we are beginning to lift up our community business districts through the Great Streets Akron program that I announced last year. In 2018, the city awarded 40 facade grants to local small business and property owners operating in the Great Streets areas. By targeting resources into these neighborhoods over the next 5 years and achieving a critical mass of investment, we will see a noticeable difference in the vitality and viability of these corridors. And you might want to ask, why is this significant? Because we are leveraging one of the greatest strengths that a city like Akron has, and that is a walkable neighborhood business district that can provide nearby residents with the convenience of shopping and job opportunities. Instead of residents needing to travel outside of the city for basic goods and services, or perhaps even a job, we are creating those opportunities right here in all of our neighborhoods. By improving the quality of housing and by revitalizing and filling vacant spaces in our neighborhoods and the business districts, we are making Akron's neighborhoods more attractive to existing residents and future residents and the small businesses that serve as the lifeblood of our economy. In our downtown neighborhood, we continue to make extraordinary progress. As anyone who travels downtown can see from the massive cranes and endless construction equipment, there is kind of a lot going on at once. As the crowds slowly murmured. The remaking of Main Street does continue to hit key milestones as we stay on schedule to complete Cedar Street to Mill Street by this December. The next phase of the project, Mill Street to Route 59, will start this year, and we expect to fully complete this transformational downtown project by the end of 2020. And I'm supposed to read this slow. After 17 years of waiting, the Bowery is under construction. In addition to the Bowery project, the renovation of the historic Mayflower is moving forward. The city found a very strong partner to redevelop the city center. All three hospitals continue their campus expansions, all while the Blue Teak Hotel began construction, new shops and restaurants opened on the north side. Again, through unprecedented collaboration and the determination of many, we have created tremendous momentum downtown. And I firmly believe that in order to build on this momentum, we need a dedicated downtown development corporation. Both Elevate Akron and the Downtown Vision and Redevelopment Plan recommend creating such capacity, and the time has come to act now. I have asked a small group of our Elevate Akron working group to develop a business plan and make recommendations for a downtown development entity. Across Ohio and the wider region, robust downtown CDCs have proven effective at implementing the brick and mortar revitalization necessary to make the broader vision of a vibrant neighborhood district come to life. Akron has this potential, but we have to be thoughtful in our approach and careful to ensure that any new organization is, number one, sustainable on its own and leverages the existing expertise that is right here in our community. In the area of public health, I and my staff continue to combat many ills facing our community, and I want to talk about two of them today. First is the rise in youth violence and the ongoing opiate epidemic. Youth violence is a serious public health issue in our city. It is a community problem, and the city will not be able to solve it alone nor overnight. In 2017, after hearing the concerns of many residents, I identified funding to hire Project Ujima, who would facilitate and lead a committee of stakeholders in drafting a strategic plan to address youth violence in Akron. The committee set a goal of reducing youth violence in Akron 20% by the year 2023. To achieve this, the committee recommended 8 strategies to combat the problem. Of the 8, the city will lead those focused on maximizing recreational activities during discretionary time, strengthening those positive relationships between community members and the police department, and reducing youth violence involving guns. Summit County Public Health has agreed to be the lead agency and will be releasing the full youth violence plan just next month. And I want to thank Health Commissioner Donna Skoda for her very important partnership on this very important initiative. I don't think any of us can forget the feelings of probably dread and grief in the summer of 2016 as a wave of synthetic opiates hit Akron, devastating a community already grappling with pervasive addiction. Almost everyone in this room, myself included, knows someone who has been impacted by the epidemic. The city, along with countless community partners, have worked hand in hand to keep people alive and to get them into treatment. As mayor, I've ordered Narcan to be carried in every police and fire vehicle. Our quick response teams have followed up with hundreds of overdose patients to date, and alternative response protocols have been deployed to provide the right care at the right time for those dealing with addiction. We're definitely not out of the woods, but we are starting to see results. In Akron, specifically, since 2016, we have reduced overdose ER visits by almost 40% and overdose deaths by 65%. And there still will be a lot of work to do in the years to come. In the area of core city services, I kept my promise to the voters of Akron, who overwhelmingly supported Issue 4, by investing the first new dollars in a generation into our core city operations, our police department, our fire department, and our city streets. Last year, we paved 54.4 miles of city roadway, and that represents a 174% increase, let that sink in, a 174% increase in city dollars going to battle the streets and potholes. In addition to our resurfacing program, several major streets were improved in conjunction with the ongoing sewer and ODOT projects. ODOT alone is poised to invest $512 million in the Akron area through the year 2025. Moreover, Akron was one of only 20 cities in the country to ever receive not one but two federal Tiger grants totaling more than $13 million. And at a time when Ohio communities are faced with a $1 billion gap in funding needed to repair or replace crumbling infrastructure, I am proud and pleased at the incredible progress we are making right here in Akron. I have to admit, I don't think I anticipated just how quickly the orange barrel would become Akron's official mascot. Sorry, Zippy. And you, like me, have had days in your frustration level that makes you shout things in your car that you would never say in public. Actually, I take that back. Many of you have communicated those thoughts on social media, and I read those on a daily basis, and I know who all you are. I'm kidding. I know there's moments of temporary anger, and it's easy to forget what all this construction represents. It does represent an investment into our city, with jobs and opportunity for Akron residents, and with efficient access to goods and services. It also represents a promise kept to the residents of this city that I would focus on our core mission, to invest in our neighborhoods and improve the condition of our city streets. Last year also saw the city break ground on two new fire stations, the first in more than 20 years. The replacement of Station 2 after 74 years of service will bring new state-of-the-art public safety facilities to the Middlebury neighborhood. This new station will include a training room, a triage station to serve emergency walk-in patients, and 500 square feet for an Akron Police Department satellite office to serve the neighborhood. The construction of new Station 4, the city's largest and most comprehensive, began last summer on Thornton Street. Station 4 serves the entire county and is the center of operations in emergency events. We have worked to ensure that this new facility is equipped with the latest technology and will also be the permanent new home for the Akron Fire and EMS command staff. And I'm happy to report, and these are great words to say, that both projects are on time and on budget and will be placed into service this year. The men and women of the Akron Police Department also received a much-needed boost last year. We replaced 53 police vehicles, introducing the first hybrid cars to the fleet. We purchased new body armor to protect our SWAT officers and launched a robust body-worn camera program for increased accountability and transparency to the community we all serve. We continue to focus on replacing and upgrading the equipment and tools that our police department needs to serve and protect all of us. But we also have an eye to the future. To that end, I have created a fund that will allow us to ultimately replace the aging Stubbs Justice Center, which currently houses our police department and the Akron Municipal Court. As the court pursues a plan to relocate to the Ocasek building, thanks to a deal that I was able to negotiate with former Governor Kasich, the need for a long-term plan for Stubbs is further highlighted. In 2019, we will engage with outside experts to explore potential sites and designs to meet the needs of a 21st century police department. And after a decade of conservative spending due to strained city resources, we are once again investing properly in our men and women in uniform. I want to personally recognize the leadership of Deputy Mayor Charles Brown, Fire Chief Clarence Tucker, and Police Chief Ken Ball. And I'd like to ask all of our public safety forces in attendance today to please stand so we can thank you properly for your dedicated and faithful service to our community. Just last year, the city instituted our first branded program to boost volunteerism amongst employees. And that's a program defined by two simple words that are literally the foundation of my service, and it's We Care. In 2018, our city workers came out in force to build a playground with Kaboom, read to children, and donate hundreds of winter items amongst many other things that they had done. I'm truly proud of the selfless giving of time and resources by our city employees. To champion volunteerism and recognize its importance, I've created the City of Akron Volunteer of the Year Award to recognize one single employee whose exemplary service went above and beyond. We're gonna wait for it. Congratulations to the 2019 City of Akron Volunteer of the Year Award, Tina Vick. Where's Tina? Please stand, Tina. Tina, we appreciate you and your service. Thank you. I've made it clear over the years that I will not simply manage our decline. Our infrastructure didn't crumble overnight, and it won't be fixed in a year. But I will continue to emphasize our infrastructure. And why? Because perceptions matter. And because a well-maintained city is one that retains and attracts jobs, people, and investment. Our social infrastructure is an essential part of this equation, specifically our parks and public spaces. In 2018, I announced the Akron Parks Challenge, an exciting collaborative effort that allows neighborhood residents to pitch their vision for their favorite park and work together with city officials and design professionals to co-create welcoming, accessible, and engaging public spaces that all of us can enjoy. With additional support from other funders, three parks were selected in 2018, and those neighborhood leaders engaged their community over the entire summer to brainstorm and prioritize what they wanted to invest in. From there, our job became fairly simple: make their vision a reality. Currently, we are hard at work on planned improvements to Cadillac Park in Ward 4, Chestnut Ridge Park in Ward 9, and Reservoir Park in Ward 10. We will open up the application process once again in April for the 2019 challenge, and I invite and encourage neighborhood leaders and organizations to once again submit your best ideas for your favorite city park. Additionally, I'm happy to announce that June 8th through the 15th of this year, we will hold the inaugural celebration of Akron Parks Week, a citywide effort to engage businesses and residents in volunteering to beautify, clean, and maintain our parks and community centers, all while meeting neighbors and having fun. Many thanks to Ken Babby and the Akron Rubber Ducks for signing on to be our presenting sponsor, and we will announce details regarding the service project sites as we get closer to Parks Week. But how about a round of applause for Ken and the Rubber Ducks? Thank you, Ken. I knew I'd work him in there somewhere. Last year, I shared my belief that recreation was and is an essential city service. We had not reviewed our recreation offerings since 1969. So the time had come to assess our program and to ask residents what was important to them. A diverse team of recreation staff spent the entire summer canvassing events and knocking on doors and meeting with citizens. The result of the plan was very dynamic, representing the voices of over 3,100 citizens. We learned a few things. One, that those who use our city recreation services absolutely love them. But we also learned we need to reach more residents. Those surveyed want more community events, better aquatic amenities, and more opportunities to connect with their neighbors in a safe environment. My new 5-year plan for recreation sets us on that path to meet those needs. This year, we are beginning construction of splash pads in North and East Akron and commissioning restoration plans for our 2 outdoor existing pools. And beginning this summer, recreation will offer a new midnight basketball league in alignment with the youth violence reduction plan. This evidence-based 8-week program will be open to young men ages 16 to 33, providing structured league play with mentorship and educational opportunities for all who enter and play in the league. As author Eric Kleinenberg recently stated in his book, Palaces for the People, social infrastructure requires an investment, whether for development or upkeep, and when we fail to build and maintain it, the foundation of our social and civic life tend to erode. I said earlier at the top of my remarks that local leadership is more important than ever. And I'm proud to say that over the last 3 years, we have taken enormous strides toward building an Akron that is more financially stable. It is more engaged and entrepreneurial and resilient. In an era that seems to reward swagger over substance and politics over good policy, for me, I've chosen a deeper path to governance, one that's based on collaboration and transparency and accountability, a path in which we don't rest, not on our successes, where we admit mistakes and fix them, and we don't shy away from where the complex problems are. I know this leadership model doesn't always lend itself to sound bites and tweets and Twitters and Googles and everything else that's out there, but our challenges don't fit into 140 characters or less, and our solutions won't either. Every day, I've used the power of this office to try and improve the lives of all of our residents, to grow our city and our resources, to make us more competitive and more dynamic. In a world where the only constant is change, I will continue to reject the idea of a managed decline and the fatalism that says Akron can never be a place where people will want to live and invest. We are continuing to prove the naysayers wrong as residents and businesses who are proud to make Akron their home are investing their time, their talent, and their treasure. Let's take a look.
They said this couldn't happen here. That our best times were behind us. That it wasn't worth trying. Those times, they're tough to forget.
I remember when this was just an empty lot.
When you couldn't drive on this road.
When we couldn't enjoy this lake.
When this building was in disrepair.
When we weren't all working together.
When they said we'd never break through.
When no one ever promised me anything.
When this project was impossible.
When the streets weren't for everyone.
When no one wanted to talk about addiction.
When our seniors still needed a voice.
When we weren't able to invest in public safety.
I don't remember any of that.
we're getting things done. Creating a new Akron. A city ready for the future. Our future. And building a legacy that will last for generations to come.
Thank you, Mayor Horgan, for your leadership and for sharing your vision for our city. There is a lot to be excited about. We have a few moments for some Q&A. I would remind you, if you want to submit questions, those details will appear on the screen. But let me start with the first question. And based on the weather today, this first question probably won't surprise you. After the last major snowfall in our city, City Council put together a task force to determine what needed to be done differently in the future. Can you just top line some headlines as far as what we might expect from that?
I kind of knew this morning storm would probably bring this to the forefront. First of all, yeah, we are continuing to work with the task force, which I think is wrapping up their meetings either this week or next week. And there are some specific things that we are going to do differently on how we've already talked about the resources put on the expressways to ODOT. But it's on the strategic side, yes, we will come out and we will perform better after we look at the recommendations from the task force and kind of go from there. It's at the top of our mind to be able to do that, and we'll continue to work with the task force to do that. Thanks.
Thank you. The second question is related to homelessness. Like many cities across our country, Akron faces challenges with regard to our homeless population. Can you please provide a perspective on what your administration is doing to partner with local agencies to ensure that these individuals get the resources and the support that they require?
This community is literally blessed by a group of organizations in the continuum of care who have been doing wonderful work for decades. And we are a strong partner with the continuum of care with a lot of pass-through dollars from the federal government. But we are always looking, you know, for new and innovative ways to be able to take on all of the community issues, whether it's homelessness or mental health. And so we'll continue to foster those strong partnerships and work with, you know, any organization that wants to better people's lives in the city of Akron. That's part of our mission each and every day.
The next question is, can you share with us what is happening up at Rolling Acres? There's been speculation in the news, and can you just confirm what is happening up at Rolling Acres?
Okay, that came out of nowhere. But I often cite album titles and movies in some of my response lines, and one of my favorite album titles, yes, I said album, was an album by Oasis where the title was Definitely Maybe. So can I confirm nothing? No. But what I can do is we took a subprime piece of property and were able to develop it with an investment over tens of millions of dollars and hundreds of jobs. And so it's an area that has not seen investment, you know, for at least a couple of decades. So we're turning probably Akron's largest piece of light into a significant piece of investment, and we'll stay on track. Thank you.
The next question is about housing. In your speech, you referred to the fact that there are 1,000 homes under construction or development in the city. Can you share what is happening with the former Perkins School site?
Yes, we have entered into an agreement with Alpha Phi Alpha to develop that particular site into single-family homes. I think at this particular point, I think we're just waiting on a couple of either on the site plans or some utility things that we have to do with them. But it's going to be a site that we want to build single family homes right there at market rate right in the neighborhood.
Great. Thank you. I thought this might be reassuring. This is from Zippy. Zippy is always here for you with and without round barrels. She loves progress. So you didn't offend Zippy.
Yeah.
All right. Our last question, I think this is from the sports fans in the audience, and it is, can you share if your basketball loyalties have changed to a West Coast team that begins with L?
Okay, my most lasting image of LeBron James is him holding a trophy above his head saying, you know, we did this for you, Akron, I mean Cleveland. As he said that, right, I did do that on purpose, but even when he came down to lock three, and held that trophy up over his head, and many of you have seen the picture, to $30,000 or $35,000 people that were out there that particular day. But even beyond that, and this is, I would argue, probably the most famous person in the world, period. Wherever he goes, you can know there's thousands of people all around. The things that he has done on a philanthropic and educational level is literally changing the face of what this community is. There are literally people across the country, if not the world, that are coming to visit, you know, the I Promise School on West Market Street. And his investment is not only into 255 kids, but 255 families. That's his legacy. So he's an Akron kid. I'm always being his quarter, and he's always square with the house with me. So that's okay.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Horrigan. Proceeds from today's event will go toward the Russell M. Pry Memorial Scholarship at the University of Akron Law School. If you would like to make contributions toward that endowment, you can text Pry to 41444. And additional opportunities will also be displayed on the screen. At this time, could I ask Pastor D. Williams, Senior Pastor at New Millennium Baptist Church, to lead us in the benediction, which will conclude today's event. Pastor Williams.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome opportunity to be able to come together as a community, as a city, and to be able to hear such wonderful opportunities that exist. We thank you for every accomplishment. We thank you for every plan. We thank you for this new vision and this season of change that is upon us. We are reminded of your word, Lord, which says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman who watches does so in vain. Father, we thank you and we praise you for continuing to watch over Akron. We pray, Lord, that you would give Mayor Horrigan, his administration, and our council members a fresh anointing and a made-up mind to be able to come together and work together to advance our community to higher heights. Lord, we pray your blessings upon us spiritually, physically, socially, and economically. We ask that you would move upon the hearts and minds of those who are in power and have authority and leadership. And we ask that you would increase their desire to diversify boards and committees so that the policies and procedures that are implemented would level the playing field for those who are marginalized and would otherwise not have access to the things that they need. We pray today that you would be with our elderly, our youth, and those who are homeless. Pray that you would protect them from abuse and neglect. We pray that you would give wisdom to our judges and divine protection to our law enforcement officers, our firefighters, and doctors, nurses, and other medical practitioners. We pray today and we thank you for every investment that has been made in this city. We thank you, and while we have your attention, we ask, Lord, that you would just be with our teachers and our preachers and social workers and public servants and all of our elected officials who you have ordained to make a difference, a positive difference in our lives, both personally and collectively. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless our families, continue to bless our schools, our businesses, our banks, nonprofits, and institutions of faith as we continue to grow and to partner together to advance the greater good of the city of Akron, the county of Summit, and the state of Ohio. This is our prayer, and we do ask it in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to Akron Mayor Dan Horrigan's 2019 State of the City Address at the Akron Roundtable, recorded earlier today at the John S. Knight Center. You can find more on the state of the city at WKSU.org, along with coverage tomorrow morning from 5 until 9 on WKSU's Morning Edition. This is 89.7 WKSU. Support for WKSU comes from the Akron Symphony Orchestra, presenting Gospel Meets Symphony. The orchestra and voices of gospel join together for a community celebration of music. It's Saturday. Tickets at akronsymphony.org. Support also comes from Direction Home Aging and Disabilities, offering wellness training programs that are open to the public. The programs focus on prevention of falls, diabetes self-management, and chronic disease self-management. Information at dhad.org.